Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Chapter 17 and chapter 18 deal predominantly with what the scripture, the text, relates to as the great whore. It is that system that is determined to operate and govern the world apart from God. And I know that in my reading and my study and my contemplation of this text, my view of this has only grown and expanded and become much larger. This terrible entity that is coming is well on the way. And it's one of the reasons, Don, I switched you over to the book of Jude this morning, because Jude warns of the coming of this terrible system of ungodliness. It is more rebellious and more wicked toward God than any government institution has ever been. And we've discussed it aplenty, and this morning we're going to finish up the 17th chapter, and this evening we'll do the 18th chapter, which talks about the demise of this system which is coming. I'd like to direct your attention to chapter 17, verse 6, to focus our thoughts as we begin this morning. And I saw the woman, that is this system that we're talking about, Mystery Babylon, she is called back in verse 5. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. That's where we finished up last week. We saw John looking at this woman, this final demonstration of Babylon in the last days. And he wonders at her with great admiration. And we spent a little time last week looking at that word admiration. And it didn't mean to admire in the sense that we look at things and admire them today, like the workmanship of an artist or a sculpture, or maybe the proficiency of an athlete. We would admire that. But the idea here is that he is amazed at what he sees. He's just astounded. And I think we can identify that with that today as we see iniquity grow stronger and stronger in our own land. And we stand back and we are just amazed. And there are many things that amaze us about this particular thing. One is that they can be so wicked. Two is that they can be so wicked and people think they're so right. The world has gone crazy, folks. It has just gone crazy. And I don't necessarily want to cite illustrations of that this morning. You see it all the time. You know, we've seen it so much in the news lately. Open advocacy of immorality. And what it really does is it breaks our heart. We see those things our heart is broken. We don't want to be part of a nation like that, part of a world like that. And really we're not. The Lord has chosen us out of this world. We are to be different. And we are to be a contrast to this world. We've just never seen it openly so bad in our history. Our memory portion for this week comes out of Romans chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Speaking of the wicked, it says, "Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And it is the development of this, and it's coming to its full flower and fruition in the last times. And even as Jude said, in the last days, this is what it's going to be. And I might direct your attention real quickly over to chapter 18, verse 4, where it says, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people.'" That is a portion of Scripture that speaks to us not only here at the end of the tribulation time when she shall receive her due reward and just judgments, but it speaks to us today as this foul, whore is even developing today. And the Lord says to us, come out of her. Don't be any part of her. And so we have an obligation to identify her and depart from her. And that's our obligation. Well, let's look to the Lord now before we finish up this 17th chapter this morning. Our Father, we bow before you in prayer. And as we consider this last bit of the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation and the disposition of this harlot, Lord, there's stuff in here that will help us understand and see it better. There's stuff in here that will encourage us because we'll realize that this evil, wicked thing that is coming will come under your divine hand and judgment, and your people will be preserved. So there is some things to look at in this to bring hope and courage to us in these days. Grant, Father, an understanding heart for us as we look at these few verses this morning regarding this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7 and 8. "And the angel said unto me, 'Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is." The angel questions John and says, "Why is it that you marvel? Why is it you are amazed at this particular thing?" And in order to answer John's amazement, the angel goes into the history of how this happened. And in verse 8, we find that there is a symbiotic relationship between this harlot and this evil government that is coming, the government of the Antichrist. And they kind of help each other. And it's interesting that the beast carries her. It might be observed that she rises on the tide of the beast. Now, the beast, the Antichrist, is not someone who comes upon the scene hurriedly. And in the early chapters of the book of Revelation, especially chapter 6, we see the rise of this Antichrist as he comes in as probably a very noble politician and one with great political power and astute in the choices he makes. And he obviously sees this other entity, this Babylonianism, this harlot, this worldwide system of man governing man and man being the total focus. He sees this system as one that he can ally with And through the participation of them both, they rise to power. And it's interesting to see here in verse 8 that this power is limited to a particular class of people. In verse 8 it says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit." That's his origin. In the last analysis, please understand, folks, this is Satan the enemy. He'll be embodying, I believe, a world politician. But in effect, it is Satan. And he says he's going to go into perdition. But it says, "They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life." If you look with me back to chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, makes this distinction. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth." There are two classifications of people. There are those that the earth is their plum, and that's what they're living for. And there are those who belong to their God. And those who are given to the earth and all of its things will be easily deceived by this Antichrist and by this harlot that is coming. It's those whose names were not written in the book of life. In these days, the lost will be those who guide and influence the world, in contrast to those who guided and shaped America. I wish all of you were in our adult Sunday school class. Pastor Weber has done such a good job of clarifying many of these issues that face us as Americans today. And this morning in our class, he made such a graphic presentation of the reality that the men who formed America and who formed our Constitution were men who were guided predominantly by the Scriptures. He made the observation this morning that 34% of the material that our forefathers quoted in forming America and forming our Constitution, 34% of their references were to the Scriptures. That's a fascinating thing to think about. In these last days, it will be those who hate God and those who hate the Scriptures who will have the influence in our world. Now, if you come with me then to verse 9. "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is, the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Now, I'm just not going to take a lot of time this morning to go into these three numbers. Ten kingdoms, seven kings, the eighth king, and these particular things. However, I will take you to one portion of Scripture in Daniel that if you don't have a cross-reference Bible, you might want to mark it down. I would think that if you have a Bible that has notes and cross-references in it, it would be there for you. But Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9 speaks of this same thing. That is not what I wanted at all. Daniel chapter 7, 23 through 25. I hope I caught you before you made that note in your Bible. Daniel 7, 23 through 25. "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Here you're seeing that 10 reduced to 7. And this extra horn that came out was the 8th. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And folks, that's just exactly what we're having today. The traditions and values that have long been held among us as Americans are being changed. And do you know there are, well, let me just relate to the things that are more common that we understand. Our public schools are increasingly finding the inability to honor the holiday of Christmas. And it's just incredible. Times and seasons and all those things are changing. And it says, they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and a dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. There's one particular thing in here that I want to pull out for you. Verse 12 in our text. We're back in Revelation 17 now. I want to pull that out. It says, the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. This is the early development of this Antichrist kingdom. And already this kingdom is in affiliation with the harlot. And who knows, this might have been going on for a period of 5, 7, 15 years. I don't know. But it says in verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their strength and power to the beast. They're with it 100%. Come with me down to verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate. As I was studying my way through this and thinking about it, to just give you a little broad view of what's happening, this Antichrist kingdom begins initially as an amalgamation of 10 kingdoms that come together. And it's probably a revived Roman Empire. Maybe we would think better in terms today, say a European empire, that kind of thing. Probably be associated with the present European common market. But it is going to function together for a while. And then this other horn comes up that we see in Daniel. And he comes and he subdues three of these kingdoms. So they're evidently in some kind of loose amalgamation, that they're not a solitary kingdom. They're an allied kingdom of 10 kingdoms. And he's going to subdue three of them, and the 7 are going to stand back and let him do that. And then he is going to rise up as the leader of the whole kingdom, now made up of 7, and he'll be the 8th ruler. Does that confuse you? That indicates something to me, that early on in this time, when those 10 kingdoms are yet there, they are going to destroy the harlot. So this harlot may have her demise in the early part of the tribulation, and even before the Antichrist himself comes to power, because it is the 10 kings that destroy her. Now come back with me then. verse 15. We did 16. We'll go back to 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Another thing that we need to understand about this harlot is that she is some identity, some governing body that holds sway over the vast majority of the earth, not just this European kingdom. And it's something that I think we see developing more and more, and it's one of the things that our politicians are really fighting about in these days. And you know that the mantra that Trump carries is, make America great again. And there's an observation that he is making there, is that America has relinquished much of her independent action to the world and has surrendered a lot of our values and rights to the world stage rather than what is good for America. And it appears that it's going to be this kind of a thing that is going to broadly rule the world. Some think it might be the United Nations, and there are other things that we've brought to your attention. But it's going to rise to unusual power and unusual wealth that we'll be looking at tonight. But you notice there in verse 16 that these 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So while today we look and we kind of marvel, don't you wonder what kind of agenda a lot of our world leaders have because of the crazy things they do? They're counterproductive. We see what our leaders in America are doing, and we know that they're counterproductive to the strength of our land, to the morality of our land, to the best interests of our land, to the economics of our land. And we say, who are they representing? Who are they leading? It's a shadowy thing, and we can't get a handle on it. In this particular day, it will no longer be a shadowy thing. It will be a thing that has risen to a worldwide dominance that is extremely powerful, extremely wealthy, and extremely corrupt. And this little empire, the beast's empire, is going to hate her and kill her. So she's obviously very easily identified, and she has a perimeter around her so that they know how to attack and destroy her. So what is coming is going to be something that is going to be very identifiable, very confined, and also vulnerable to attack. Now, having said that, let me just take a moment and take you to the book of Zechariah, chapter 5 and verse 8. You just go back to the minor prophets and just page around till you find Zechariah. And in chapter 5, in verse 8, we find this. And he said, this is wickedness. That's the harlot. Here it is prophesied so many years ago. This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of an ephah and cast a weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. So here it is, identified and confined. Verse 9, Then lifted I up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Boy, would it be fun to play with this verse. Two women. Oh, maybe we've got two women political leaders. We might even put some names on those who have a very attractive and formal and comfortable relationship with this wicked thing that's developing. And they will lead in securing something for this woman, this harlot. Let's go on. There came out two women. The wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? Where are they taking it? And he said to them, here we have a geographical location, to build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and settled there upon her own base. So, I just think the scriptures are very clear that this whore, this harlot, is coming. It's going to be something that's clearly identified, something that's very powerful and very wealthy, and it's going to have an established location right here on this earth, and they're going to build it a city right over there in the land probably of Iraq, probably on the former location of Babylon, because after all, this is mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots. And then if we go back to verse 16 of chapter 17, it says, the 10 horns that thou sawest upon her shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And this kingdom of the Antichrist is going to be moved against her with jealousy and envy. He will not share his power. He will not share his wealth with any. He will not share his predominance with any. He was willing to help in the development of this whole system because it was a symbiotic relation and it helped him grow into power. But when he finally comes into power, he will destroy her. Verse 17, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. In the last days, folks, it just seems like this shadow kingdom is going to be something that's going to rise to extreme power, and it will rule over the whole world from a specific geographical location. I don't know how else to understand this 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. The focus and program of this kingdom is to eradicate the influence of God on the earth. They will do it by scorning God and his values and standards, and by persecuting his followers. Going to be a sad, sad time that is coming. But it is great to see that it will not prevail. The scriptures do much to indicate and reveal the wickedness and fornication of this horror that is coming. As evil as the Antichrist is, this horror is more so. Likely a picture of her, we'd picture as sly, subtle, deceptive, self-grasping of power and wealth. Likely a shadow government of apostate Christianity mingled with politics and education. It's interesting, Paul warned Timothy to be careful in the last days of the rise of science, falsely so-called. The word science there is just the word gnosis, which means knowledge. She will develop the environment in which I believe the Antichrist will flourish. And then the Antichrist will turn and destroy her. Tonight we will have the privilege of looking at the destruction of that harlot. And quite frankly, I'm looking forward to it. And this evening we're going to be spending our time in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation and the 50th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. You might want to just this afternoon, if you have time, sit down and read through those two chapters. We'll just be making a few observations out of those tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is clear and specific about the things that are coming. And Lord, may we take the warning of the 18th chapter to not be any part of this wicked, compromising, man-centered, God-hating system that is coming. Help us to understand there's a price to be paid to stand clearly as your people today. And Lord, I would also pray that in these days we would not be deceived. For in that you warn your people to come out of her, it seems like she is easily deceptive of your own people. So, Father, grant us mercy and grace to walk with you in faithfulness and fidelity, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.